know many of you listen to this podcast on the go, driving to work, working out, even doing chores. Now you can get CPE credit for that time. With Earmark, you can earn free NASBA-approved CPE for listening to the Inside Public Accounting podcast. After you listen to an episode, take a quiz, and your certificate will be ready. Earmark has courses for everyone in your firm, from staff to partners. Get started today at earmark.app or download the free app on the App Store.
Welcome back to the Inside Public Accounting podcast, where we turn the data into insight and the insight into strategy. I am Rob Brown, one of your hosts, and I'm joined as always by my wonderful co-host, Chelsea Summers, Executive Director of the Inside Public Accounting Organization. Welcome.
Hi, Rob. So today we are going to dive into a really big shift in the profession right now. It's the rise of consulting and advisory services.
That's right. Everybody's talking about it. Accounting firms have been known for compliance, tax audit, assurance, but that game is changing. According to this year's Inside Public Accounting Practice Management Report, more firms are seeing growth coming from consulting than compliance.
Exactly. So largest firms now are getting 43.6% of their total revenue from non-compliance services. It's a very significant share. Across the board, I think firms are starting to realize that their future of growth is going to really lie in their advisory work and not just in tax returns and in audits.
Yeah, it's not looking backwards anymore. It's looking forwards, Chelsea. So let's start with the big picture. Why are firms moving in this direction?
A lot of the transition is due to client demand. Businesses want more than just check the box compliance. They really want strategy from their accounting firms. They want more than just helping to interpret the numbers, or they want help interpreting the numbers, not just what are the numbers. So firms that are able to provide those advisory services, consulting, CAS, client accounting services, something we're hearing a lot about, or even IT and technology solutions, those individuals are becoming a lot more valuable to their clients.
Yeah. And it's showing up not just in the numbers. Tax and insurance still important, but together they're making up, I saw the stat, 64% of firm revenue. That's just under 2/3. And that's down from previous years. So it's a steady decline as the non-compliance stuff is taking its place.
Yeah. And what I think is really interesting here is that this is not just something that's happening in the large firms. Even smaller firms, those under 20 million in revenue, are starting to build out advisory practices and their CAS offerings. In some cases, they're growing them as quickly as these top tier firms.
CAS, client advisory services, I've heard it, complete advisory services, complete accounting services, whatever you call CAS. Yes, we're shifting from compliance to counsel. So the profession's revenue mix, Chelsea, is literally shifting before our very eyes.
It is. And I think in many ways, that's probably a good thing. That shift is helping in diversification of the firm's income streams. Some of those advisory services have better margins, and it's also going to help create more meaningful work for the staff, especially as we start utilizing and firms start utilizing offshoring and outsourcing more. And AI and technology is taking some of that work, some of the tax return processing or some of the entry level work, some of that's taken up by the offshore staff or by a technology. Now we're providing more meaningful work for the staff in the advisory roles.
So let's talk about CAS. We'll define it as client advisory services here, Chelsea. You mentioned it's a major growth driver.
Yes. So CAS is becoming almost universal in accounting firms. In our survey, 88% of firms are now offering it. And for those that do, it's representing about 10% of their firm-wide revenue. That's not just in bookkeeping. It's also in workflow automations or dashboards, analytics, or CFO level insights to their clients.
So could we say it's not just compliance? It's supporting the decision-making.
Yeah, absolutely. CAS is helping to put firms in that consultative role. You're no longer just their accountant. You then become their strategic partner in their business.
Wow, that is a very different kind of relationship, and accountants have got to get used to it, because it does make stickier clients, doesn't it, when they can do that?
It does. We typically see that the CAS clients are more loyal, and they're also more profitable, and they're helping to open the doors for higher value projects like forecasting, like process improvement, or even M&A advisory if it comes up.
Well, you started to mention different kinds of advisory. Let's dig into that a little bit. So in fueling the non-compliance growth beyond CAS, what are the consulting areas are emerging?
So we're seeing strong growth in a couple other areas. Assessment advisory services, we're seeing it in IT consulting, business valuation, and even in cybersecurity. Roughly 25% of firms are earning revenue from investment advisory work, and 1 in 4 firms report having an IT consulting practice. And those are numbers that we're seeing climb every year when we do the survey.
Such a definite signal that firms are redefining what accounting even means.
Yes. And that is a conversation that we have with firms very often and internally very often is now, what does an accounting firm look like as firms are doing less and less of their compliance services? At what point, what is the definition of accounting firm anymore? And a lot of those changes are often driven by the technology and not just around automation, but technology as a service in itself. Firms are helping to guide their clients through their own digital transformations, their software implementations, and using data analytics. So that's all advisory revenue for the firm now.
It's such a game changer. And the firms that can get their heads around this, they are really going to move ahead. And I wonder if firms are thinking, is this worth the effort? The numbers are clearly saying yes. These high growth firms, the ones that are growing more than 20% organically, are also the most profitable, right, Chelsea?
Yes, they typically have high net income growth. That's nearly triple the average, and a revenue per equity partner that's 15% higher. So that's not just they're growing. That's really strategic growth.
That's sustainable growth too. We talked about that in an earlier episode. And those firms that these have leaner personnel costs, right?
They do. These high growth firms, they keep their personnel costs around 43% of their total revenue. And compare that overall to the average, about 49%. So that efficiency is letting them invest more in technology, in people, and in their consulting infrastructure.
So the advisor growth, it's not just expanding revenue, it's improving margins and getting rid of the less profitable people and processes.
Yes. And those firms that are choosing to diversify their services, they're not just growing, they're having smarter operations as well.
Let's just look at the human side of this. Advisory needs a different kind of person, a different kind of mindset, a different kind of team, doesn't it?
It does. And over half the professional staff in firms today are non-CPAs.
Ooh,
that's a really big shift from even
is.
5 years ago.
Yeah.
So firms are no longer just hiring accountants on the CPA track. They're hiring technologists. They're hiring data analysts, project managers. These people are individuals who are thinking differently, and they're helping to bring new skills to the table. And that's really what advisory work is going to require. It's not just interpreting financials. It's about connecting the data to the strategy and helping to make the clients faster and smarter business decisions. So firms are going to require individuals who understand those technology systems and understand process improvement and change management. That's a big one that keeps coming up. And even communication and storytelling are all going to be important in these new advisory firms.
So the talent pipeline is going to be eased in a way because we'll need less accountants, but it is changing. We're going to need more of other kinds of people.
It is. And the firms that want to scale these consulting services, not only do they need to look at who they're hiring, but they also need to think about how they're training and rewarding and structuring their teams. A big one is the traditional charge hour models. That's not always going to fit in an advisory focused service line. And sometimes neither do traditional career paths. Those don't line up with the new staff that they're bringing on.
It's fascinating because it also means that firms are blending cultures, blending skill sets. You've got the traditional accountants working alongside people from finance, IT, data analytics backgrounds. It's a real melting pot.
It is. And sometimes that can create growing pains, but I think it's also what's going to drive the next generation of firm leadership. Those diversity of perspectives and diversity of experiences. I think all that's a net positive for the firms.
So here's the part that caught my eye in the report, Chelsea. Traditionally, accountants have really struggled with advisory services because they've not known how to price it, how to promote it, how to even deliver it sometimes. So despite all the innovation in services, firms are still relying on the chargeable hour, billable hours, the hour times rate, aren't they? The old ways.
They are. And I was pretty surprised to see the metric this year. 67% of all revenue is still coming from that billable hours multiplied by rate model. It's something we saw slowly start to come down, and we're seeing it tick up a little bit. That the fixed fee and value pricing were often seen as the future, but they're slipping, not rising. And I think firms are going to really need to figure out that discrepancy if they want their advisory practices to grow.
That's alarming, because you think advisory would force a change.
Yes, you would think so. But I think the old habits are dying really hard at these firms. A lot of firms they still view the hourly billing and billing out of WIP as the safe choice. It's predictable. It's measurable. It's same as last year, what their previous engagement said.
Well, accountants are in the business of risk mitigation, and they don't like trying new things by and large. So you can see that a little bit.
Yeah. But it's also going to make it a limit to your upside. When you're delivering that consulting or that strategic work, the value to the client is going to often exceed the number of hours it took to get there, especially when technology is starting to make that work a lot more efficient. So when a project that used to take you 1,000 hours is now taking you 300, are you cutting your engagement with that client? You shouldn't, even though the technology made it more efficient. So firms are having the opportunity to really rethink how they price. The shift in the conversation from time spent to the value delivered to that client. Some firms are starting to experiment with you doing retainer models or outcome-based pricing or bundling their advisory packages together, and they're seeing stronger margins and better client alignment.
Yeah. The headline writes itself, a pricing innovation to match service innovation.
There you go. Yes. Firms have really modernized their technology and helped to diversify their services, but pricing is still so stuck in the past. And if they want to fully capitalize on that advisory growth, they're going to need to modernize how they bill. And it can't just be for time anymore. It's not about changing just for change's sake. It's about building models that reflect the value of the insight and strategy they provide. These firm leaders need to be confident in the value and price based on that confidence.
Well, we are calling it here, and we're giving you the data behind the stories. You lot, so you've got to go out there and change it. You can definitely, it needs some conversations with clients that are courageous, because you're going to have to reprice and go to the value and the impact of what you're doing, the results of what you're doing. Chelsea, this has been great. Let's wrap things up here. What does the future service mix look like 2, 3, 5 years from now?
And the crystal ball behind me on my bookshelf tells me, I think that if the current trajectory is going to hold, we're going to see non-compliance services easily surpass 50% of revenue within the next year or two. That's a major redefinition of what it means to be a public accounting firm.
If we're going to do that, compliance is going to be still a foundation. It's not going away, but consulting is going to be the engine.
Exactly. And the firms that balance both, so they have a steady base of compliance, but the scalability potential of advisory, those are going to be the ones that are going to thrive.
Yeah. So the compliance is going to be the bottom of the pyramid, the stable bit, and then advisory is going to be everything else. That makes so much sense. And it's a perfect place to end. The data tells us a clear story. Consulting is not just an add-on. It's not just an optional luxury. It's not just something you might enjoy doing. It's becoming the core of accounting firm growth.
It is. And for firm leaders, this is a good time to take a look critically at your service mix and at your talent strategy and at your pricing models. So the firms that adapt are going to be the ones that are defining in the next era of public accounting.
Beautifully said. Your crystal ball is going to point the way. Chelsea, thank you so much. Thanks to everyone for listening too.
And if you found this episode helpful, please share it with a colleague. And don't forget to follow the Inside Public Accounting podcast for more data-driven insights every single week.
Yep. And we're on YouTube. If you're listening audio, great. But if you want to see Chelsea and I in living color, then we are on the Inside Public Accounting YouTube channel. Yes. If you want to dive deeper with any of the numbers in today's discussion, check out the Inside Public Accounting IPA Practice Management Report, insidepublicaccounting.com.
Yes, and we'll see you next time as we dig into another trend that is shaping the profession and what it might mean for your firm's future.